This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Gracious and loving, merciful God, let the words of my mouth and the inspiration of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our strength and redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. In our Tuesday evening Bible study this week, we're taking a look at the book of Proverbs, and in it, the author and our participant guide suggests in the beginning that the wisdom literature, which Proverbs is part of, takes a lot of its examples of wisdom from the natural world, and that if we look to nature, nature can teach us about wisdom. So as an example, they give this little line from chapter 6, and this is what it says. I just laughed out loud. Go to the ant, you lazy bones. Consider its ways and be wise. If you've never read the book of Proverbs, it's pretty amazing. Go to the ant. I love that. And so I did. And did you know that ant wisdom is a thing? Ant wisdom. There are books written about the wisdom of ants. And then I found this great little picture of this ant lifting a twig. And this is a real photograph. It's a real photograph. They can lift so much more than they would ever imagine that they could lift. They care for one another and they work together, yet each of them knows their own individual job and responsibility. And when they work together, they can even do more things and greater things. And it's mainly because they have no care for whether they are first or last. They just do the work and they get it done. And man, do they. And not only that, but they leave trails for one another so they can find their food source. And also the trail tells them how to find their way back home to their nest. We'll take a look at this nest. This is an example of a nest that was found in Brazil, and poor ants, but out of research, they poured cement down into all the holes, and this is cement that you see in the center there, and then they just took away the earth so that they could learn about how these ants dwelled and where they lived, and this is what they built. It's pretty astounding, and right in the center, of course, would be the queen, who is protected because she gives birth. She's the one that's responsible for all of that. It's just amazing. These ants know innately, without consciously being aware, that they are in touch with creation and a power greater than themselves. They just do it. Just like the lilies of the field are beautiful. We have something to learn about that. The young man in our story today possibly knew that there was something greater than what he was learning in his own Jewish heritage. He found Jesus. Jesus is just coming on a journey. He's on his way down the road. This guy comes running up to him and he kneels down and he says, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And so Jesus, ever the teacher, I can just see him. He's like, "Okay, get up off your knees. You don't have to kneel down right here. And why? I want to get two things straight. First, why do you call me good? Only God in heaven is good." Now, I tried to find out why he said that, because you would think Jesus would know that he was good, right? Well, possibly, as a rabbi, he could have been testing this guy just to see if he really did think he was the Messiah, because remember, he had to keep it kind of secret. He could have been saying to him, "Why do you call me good? Only God the Father is good," like testing him, you know? That's one possibility. Nobody knows for sure. And the other is more likely that he was probably so humble, as he always was, that he gave all the glory to God, the Creator, possibly. But he wanted to get that clear with this fellow. Secondly, He wanted to understand his own heritage. And he says, you know now the Ten Commandments, right? And you know them, and he lists them all out for him. And the guy says, I've done that since my youth. Of course, I know that. So then he's coming, though, to Jesus still for some kind of reason. And the text says Jesus, loving him in all love, says to him, but you lack one thing. You lack something. He knew this guy had many possessions. Jesus just knew it. And he knew that he put those possessions ahead of everything else. He kind of worshiped them, if you will. And he said, go sell everything you have, give the money to the poor, and then come back and follow me. And then come back. He was being invited on a journey. And this wasn't any ordinary journey. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, to the ultimate journey of his arrest, his crucifixion, his death, and his resurrection. So he's inviting him to this journey of transformation in his life. But he had to give all. He had to be all in. He had to be of himself. It's kind of like what you say, like what Charles and Julie will say when they exchange rings. This is the vow. I give you this ring as a symbol of my vow, and with all that I am and all that I have, I honor you. Total commitment. This is the invitation that Christ is offering to all of us and to that man, to this wonderful journey of not only transforming ourselves, but transforming the world and resurrecting. And the man walks away grieving. Again, we aren't quite sure if he comes back. Maybe he was grieving because he would go home and do that and then come back. We don't know. Maybe, and most likely, though, he was probably grieving because it was asking too much. He didn't think that he could give away everything and give it all to the poor. Bruce Pruer, who is a retired minister from Australia, a sacred author and poet, captures this idea just beautifully, I think, in a poem that he wrote, imagining this invitation being denied by many of us as human beings. One idolized wealth, another hungered for fame, so they went sadly away. One loved career, one the latest fashion, and they went proudly away. One lived through her children, one lived for his farm, so they went busily away. One fed on the adulation of fans. Sport was another's passion, so they went impatiently away. One had the gambling lust. Another's was sex, so they went madly away. One wanted to be waited on. One wanted to lie about, so they went sluggishly away. One was hooked on sport. One was on the next drug fix, so they went hurriedly away. One lived for churchly honors, one for churchly clout, so they went blindly away. This calling of Jesus to this man was an internal call, an internal surrender that we are being offered as well, to say yes to God's presence and activity in our lives. And we say it again and again and again and again because we forget. I know I sure do. But after that man walks away, and we aren't quite sure if he comes back again, Jesus turns to his disciples because he knows the disciples are not understanding this. He knows he's saying something that's really very difficult for anybody to do in that day. And Peter says, how can anybody be saved then? How can anybody give up everything? And Jesus lovingly says, with God, all things are possible. Remember late Friday afternoon, we had that downpour. I know we did where I was living, and it was around 5 o'clock, I think. And I mean, it was coming down in sheets and buckets. And I love a good rainstorm, especially if I'm inside watching it out my window. So I was doing just that, and about 6 o'clock, I hear this knock at my door. And it was my neighbor coming over to say, I don't know if you know it or not, but I just went downstairs and your windows are open. And so I said, thank you very much, and I got towels, and I went downstairs, and I mean, the water in the bottom of my car was like this in the carpet. And so I'm there with the towels, and I'm not happy about it, and I'm scrubbing away, and it's just getting sopped up. And finally, I lug these towels back into the house, and I'm wringing them out on the front porch, and it dawned on me, that here I am complaining about this, and I thought about the people in South Carolina last week who are still wringing out their clothes and their towels, if they even have any left, and still wringing their hands. Thought about that, about many of them giving up without their choice everything that they owned, everything. And then I thought about how I saw on the news how grateful they were that they had their very lives, and they had their families, and they had their friends, and that was what was the most important. That was what was the most important. So I had this great little comeuppance, and it felt really good. Because following tragedy is when we are fine-tuned, if we're aware, into what really does matter in our lives. God's way is peace, but as C.S. Lewis said, the Christian faith prepares us for this journey, not by giving us a map, but by giving us a compass. It's a little trickier, by giving us a compass. And to see where that compass points, we have to be willing to be in a deep relationship with God and take the time in prayer and asking for that direction, asking for that compass point. Yes, Lord, whatever comes this day, show me. And then we're shown, usually. And if we're not, then we wait. When I was discerning to be a priest, I came across a song. I was at Canuga, and Fran McKendry was there, who is a close friend of Charles. He'll be at the wedding, I'm sure. And he had done a rendition of a song called The Summons. And we're going to be singing it today during the offertory. And it's the words are by John Bell. And this song haunted me for years as I was discerning priesthood, so much that I'd be in my car and I would just be crying. I was like, not this, not that. I didn't know. And it wouldn't let me alone. So it's a very important song in my life. And I would just like to read to you just a few of the verses, and then we'll be singing them together, because I think it speaks exactly to this gospel in our lives. Will you come and follow me if I but call your name? Will you go where you don't know and never be the same? Will you let my love be shown? Will you let my name be known? Will you let my life be grown in you and you in me? Will you leave yourself behind if I but call your name? Will you care for cruel and kind and never be the same? Will you risk the hostile stare should your life attract or scare? Will you let me answer prayer in you and you in me? Will you love the you hide if I but call your name? Will you quell the fear inside and never be the same? Will you use the faith you've found to reshape the world around through my sight and touch and sound in you and you in me? Lord, your summons echoes true when you but call my name. Let me turn and follow you and never be the same. In your company I'll go where your love and footsteps show. Thus I'll move and live and grow in you and you in me. Amen.